It's about time. It's about place. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is, what is it? It's the 5th of January, the eve of the day that rocked the world. Yeah, something like that. I think that's what the leftists are calling it right now. The wackos on the left right now. Yeah, anyway, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. It's Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. The year presses on. We get closer and closer. One more day closer. To the big event that everyone's waiting on. Everybody kind of knows there's this, like, this, it's not just going to go on forever. At some point, this all got to end. Not the show. I'm talking about this. Well, we hope the show will end at some point. But maybe I should just do that. I should just have a perpetual show all the time. I should just hook up a microphone to the side of my head and just think out loud all day long. It's whatever I'm doing. It'd be kind of difficult for some of the people I work with, probably. And it'd be difficult for you guys if I'm working with someone because I'm talking about stuff that you don't care about. Which, you know, that's probably pretty much most of my show content. Come to think of it, I just talk about stuff you guys don't care about. But I do know one thing that you guys care about, and that is what is in my cup. So this morning, I have. See if you can guess. Now you'll never guess. Nope, that's not it either. Keep saying it. Say something. No, I say that's it wasn't that either. I have apple cider. Who'd have thought in January? I remember a time when I was a kid. Oh, here we go. He's telling a story. I remember when I was a kid. Back when I was a kid, we didn't have you little whippersnappers. Kids behaved back when I was a kid. So they used to be able to beat us. Not that I ever got beat. I didn't ever get beaten, but I learned. See, I had an older brother and sister. Quite a bit older than me. Much, much, much older. I always tell them, I always make sure that they know they're a lot older than I am. Which they actually they are. They're about eight or nine years older than me. I was the baby of the family, literally. I still am. Still cry every time we get together. And if I don't get my way, throw a little tantrum. The thing about life back then was that I would see my brother or my sister misbehave. They would do something that they were told not to do. And I would very quickly see the consequences of that. Okay, you did, they told you not to do that. So you did that. Or you did something you knew you weren't supposed to do. And then you wonder why you're spanking and got the crying thing on the bed. You know, you're screaming that they don't love you and all this stuff. And they, you know, I hate you. You don't love me. All the drama. I remember all that stuff. And then I remember putting two and two together, even as a very small child. Thinking, okay, well, if they tell me not to do something, maybe if I don't do that, this will not be my end. I will not end up going to my room and screaming on my bed and crying. I'll just continue to play with whatever else I can play with. I'll find something else that they haven't told me not to do yet. Yeah. So I never really got spanked as a kid. I mean, I probably did as a little bitty kid. I don't know. I got the occasional swat. And there were times that my mom told me to come inside. Supper time, and I'd continue to play basketball with my friends. You know, it was getting dark. They were ready for supper. And I was still out there playing. finally I would come through the door and she'd be standing there and she kind of like try to swat me as I'm coming through the door. That's about it. She would miss all the time, of course, because I would, you know, I don't think she really wanted to touch me because I was all sweaty from playing ball, either football or basketball. I was a little bitty kid, but I was a scrapper. That didn't help much in high school. The scrappiness was, you know, only went so far. And you just got run over by the big kids. But where was I going with all this? How did I start this whole mess? I started with a different story, and I ended up in this particular realm of the world, which is back when I was a kid. Yeah. So anyway, I learned all this stuff about the consequences of disobedience. Now, I remember what I was going to say. I was talking about apple cider. I was talking about my cup. Of course, that's what you guys are just hanging on the edge of your seat about. I had this apple cider issue. And back when I was a kid, we had apple cider about 2 months out of the year. I live in kind of a rural area. Rural. Rural. The area that I live in, we had an orchard here. We had a apple orchard close by. It was a great big orchard thing. It was a pretty popular place. And of course, they had seasonal stuff there. You would have apples throughout the summer, or at least late summer when they were picking apples. And as the fall approached, you would have the obvious, you know, they would take all the apples nobody wanted, all the rotten stuff that landed on the ground, had all the worms in it. They would throw that in a press, and they would squeeze all those juices out, all the worm and goober juices out of the apples. And they would put those in jugs. We would call it apple cider. And then they would sell it, and we would drink it. It was yummy. Then early on, they started doing apple cider earlier in the season, and the apple cider would usually be a little bit more clear. You'd have fresher apples at that time, so the apple cider was a little bit more crisp, had a little bit more bite to it. It was kind of like one of those apples you bite into, and it kind of makes your mouth water. Kind of gives you that pucker factor. And then as the time would go by. As the weeks would go by and they started using the older and older apples that were hanging out from the tree there. Then the apples started to break down a little bit. And I'm not even sure how often they washed the press, but they would scrub the press, I guess, occasionally. And I think at the end of the year, they finally, when it got all done, they would power wash the press out. But they had as the season went on, the apple cider got darker. I'm assuming they got further and further at the bottom of the bin of the fermented apples. And they would press those out, and then it would, and at some point you knew when the apple cider was pretty much solid. When a spoon would stand up in your apple cider, you knew that was the end of the season. It's more like applesauce at that point. And I don't remember even when it started happening. I just normally assumed that in the fall we would have apple cider. I never thought about apple cider in the spring or in the middle of winter. That just made no sense to me. And one of the things that they started doing with apple cider is they started to, what do they call that? They processed it with kind of like what they do with milk, homogenize it, I guess, or whatever they do. It's homogenized, pasteurized, whatever they call it. They cook it to a certain temperature. I guess it does something to the worm juice and the bug juice. I guess I get something out of there. All those good things for you that are good for you. All the natural stuff that's in there. The stuff that gave you immunities. Yeah, they cook all that stuff out. That's where all the vitamins are. Vitamins are all in the worms. And the bugs and stuff. So that's how things have changed since I was a kid with apple cider. So there you go. That's my apple cider story. But you weren't expecting an apple cider story today, boys and girls. But that's what you got. That's what you're going to get. That's all you're going to get from this show, probably. If that's all you get, that's what you got. There you go. Get it? Got it? Good. Okay, now we're moving on here. The story I want to talk about a little bit here is this whole January 6th thing. Part of this whole story, I don't even know where to begin. For a year now, the leftists, and yes, Liz Cheney, I count you as one of them. She claims she voted 93% along with everything that Donald Trump did on policy. That's what she claims. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked at her record. I have no idea. It's very possible she may have. Now, she hates Donald Trump. The January 6th Commission was a committee that was established by the Democrats, by Nancy Pelosi. They wanted to bring on a couple of Republicans onto the board, onto this committee, this kangaroo mock court. Talk about political theater. This is the grand stage, the center stage of political theater right now in Washington. So they have this committee going on, and this has just been ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. They have worked themselves into such a frenzy. You have to wonder if they could just step back and listen to themselves talk, what they would say. If they heard their junior high kid say the kind of things that they're saying about what happened on January 6th, they would, well, this is a multifaceted issue. There are so many angles to this, but it really epitomizes everything that these people try to do with their little political theater and the way they try to railroad things into being. And right now, we have a situation where we have a Department of Justice and an Attorney General that just might go along with this stuff. He has no rule of law that governs him. He is completely a political hack. Well, I had the letter. I had a letter, so we were able to launch an FBI investigation. Terrorist investigation, because I had a letter from somebody. I can't even talk like the guy does. I can't even do a good impression of this guy because Merrick Garland is so I don't know what to say. Let me see if I can hold my if I choke my throat sort of kind of like it is.
Well, I had the letter.
That's not even good. I can't do it. I don't even want to do it. I don't want to sound like the guy. When he talks, I get this chill down my spine. It's not a thrill. Not a thrill running up my leg there, buddy. Like certain people got when Obama was speaking. It is a chilling kind of feeling I get when this guy talks. And I can't explain it. That's just not something I want to experience. So my ability to impersonate him is probably thwarted by my own mental blockade there. So I have this, by the way, got to pause here for my sponsor. Who's my sponsor? Where's my sponsor go? I had a sponsor. Oh, I don't have a sponsor. I got some apple cider. I pause for a moment for my apple cider. There we go. I do want to make an announcement, though. Now, this is, I am going to be doing live broadcasts. I talked about this yesterday, and I did do a video broadcast. I am on Rumble, and I recorded the show yesterday on video. It was just a camera view of me, camera shot of me talking. So it was just a talking head the whole time, just me talking. But you got to see the real, you know, the real individual behind the microphone, by the way, who is not a doctor, not a lawyer, not an epidemiologist, not a virologist, not a life coach. I am not an accountant, CPA, financial advisor. I'm not a brain surgeon or a brain surgeon, either one. And I'm also not a very good driver, but that's beside the point. Where was I going with all that? The issue is that I'm the Rumble thing. I'm working on some software for my Mac. I could run this on my PC through a little program I have called vMix. And I really like vMix. I'm only mostly because I'm used to using it. I used to use it a lot. I used to use it 3 or 4 times a day, running shows and doing things with that. And so I've got that all set up. That is at that's at the main headquarters. Now, this morning I'm at my home office here, down in the cove, down in the bunker. And this is my studio at my house. The studio I have at my main office is all set up for video with a green screen, the whole thing. I've got all kinds of multi-camera operations there. I can plug in all kinds of inputs and outputs and video and do all kinds of stuff on there. And I can do that kind of on the fly as I'm doing the show. Get a little switch thing I can push on buttons, make it happen. This particular setup here with my Mac, however, requires a different kind of software. That vMix does not work on iOS products. Which was if I would have used Wirecast, I could have used Wirecast and I could have gotten a license for each, both. And then they pretty much work the same for both. The interface is about the same, which is nice because then you can, whatever you're using, you can use, you kind of get used to one setup and you can kind of do the same things with both. However, OBS is free, which fits right into my budget. But OBS is very powerful, actually. It's I'm probably going to be using that. It's an open source program and it's free. However, it does require some operational, at least practice. And I have not used it probably more than 3 or 4 times in the course of my life. And I knew I want to set up some screens and get some stuff, some scenes, I guess, and get some things working with it, get it to stream to Rumble. And I have to set up my account on there and everything. So that's going to take a little bit of time. I don't know that that's going to happen today, but it will most likely happen this week. My guess is at some point this week, there will be a live stream on Rumble of the show. I don't know what it'll be all about, but anyway, that's not enough time with that. That's enough time. Enough about that. You can go to Rumble and look at my. I think my account actually on Rumble is Epic Video About Nothing. That's my account name on Rumble. In case you want to look for me on there, it's Epic Video About Nothing, all one word. Pretty sure that's what my account name is on there. I think. I don't know. Let's look here and see. Epic Video. My content license. Yeah, all videos. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's just what you're going to get. I guess I do have some other videos on there, actually, believe it or not. Kind of old ones. News According to Me, episode 146. Seems live on Rumble. We'll see. Oh, that was a long time ago. I was talking about being live on Rumble, and I never did. So these, some people have actually viewed my show on there since I put it on there. That's kind of exciting. Regardless of all that, just be aware that that's going to happen. And hopefully that'll kind of start to boost things up a little bit and people can, I can get the video playing and all the things that are happening there with all that. Let's talk a little bit about this January 6th commission. Now, what I was talking about earlier was Sadly, yeah, I know I haven't talked about COVID yet. Don't worry, it's coming. It's always in my back pocket. I just happen to think, you know, you guys are probably wondering if I'm going to talk about COVID today. I was on a tirade yesterday. It was all COVID all the time. Omicron. So we have this issue with the January 6th Commission, which is coming up. January 6th tomorrow is the anniversary of the bloody, deadly attack on the nation's capital, on our democracy. Our country was hanging in the balance while Donald Trump sat in a room beside the Oval Office and did nothing, while his daughter pleaded with him to stop the bad men from attacking the Capitol. Stop the bad men. Won't you please, Father? Stop the bad men. Well, first of all, I got to tell you, if I'm in the process, I'm just trying to put myself in these guys' shoes. If I'm in the process of busting into the Capitol with the intent on overthrowing the government somehow, which is what they're implying here. Let's say I'm busting in. I'm not checking my Twitter feed. Okay, first of all, Trump was banned from Twitter, by the way. His stuff was taken down. And he was always censored. So no matter what he did, he couldn't bust in on social media. These people weren't carrying televisions around with them. How is he supposed to get on live television and announce that they need to stop the attack on the Capitol, as if he's in control, as if he's the one that called for the attack to begin with? That's what they're implying here. And it's extremely frustrating when my dogs are barking in the background. I'm not sure what's going on with that. That's the loudest I've heard him bark. He's actually upstairs. I don't have the door closed on my studio here, but that's pretty amazing. Maybe he needs to go outside. But what they're trying to make it sound like the whole thing was commanded and orchestrated by Donald Trump. That they were all marching on his orders. This is the kind of hysteria we're dealing with here with these people. Now, they've got some text messages, I guess. So they were able to get a hold of a couple of people's phones. I think it was Mark Meadows, I believe, and which I think was the chief of staff at that time. And somebody else's. Of course, there's a lot of messages being tossed around. So to get a hold of somebody's cell phone, you got all their, you got their text message data. They're able to, if they unlock it for you, they show you. They're making mountains out of not even molehills. They're making mountains out of not even an anthill. They're just coming up with stuff. It's just pure fabrication of stuff. And of course, Adam Schiff, in true fashion, as he normally does, changes the text so that it suits his narrative and puts that out on the news. And never apologizes for this kind of thing, by the way. Never retracts his statements. Well, that was the intent of it. When he came out and paraphrased, he didn't say he was paraphrasing. When he came out in his little paraphrase of what Donald Trump said to the Ukraine president, I think it was, or whoever it was, whatever was going on over there, when they were trying to impeach him the one time, and he continued just go on and on and on and on and on, made himself very popular in his own mind. When he just kept going on about the Russian collusion. In plain sight. Well, there's plenty of evidence in plain sight. And yet nothing was ever done with that. We had a Mueller investigation into the whole thing. $40-some million and more. A lot more than that, actually. Probably three times that much. Spent on that whole thing and nothing was determined. Trump and the Trump family were not involved in anything that was going on there. In fact, now that there's been more evidence brought forward, it looks like, the evidence was tampered with and there was lies about the whole thing and there was a lot of other things going on. And yet nothing's being done with that. The real tragedy and the real atrocity and the threat to our democracy was the FBI behind the scenes changing warrants, the text on changing yeses to noes or backwards. And it's just those are the kinds of things, you know, it's not even changing it to a maybe, not even just erasing the question, changing the answer to the question from one to the other in order to get the FISA warrant that they needed. That is treasonous, in my opinion, when you're talking about attacking a president. And yet you don't hear much about that. Democrats don't seem to be too up in arms and concerned about that, do they? Talk about a threat to our democracy. Which isn't even a democracy, it's a republic. But that's, I know, we talk about democracy. A republic is a form of democracy. We use a democratic process. Now, again, I will say, the word democracy never appears in any of our founding documents on purpose. Because the founders knew exactly what a democracy was. It's a mob rule situation. And nothing about our government is established as a democracy. Because it is based on individual rights. You don't have a democracy in an individual rights situation. You have protected individuals, not mob rule. Not 51% rule. If 51% decide that they want to vote to take away the money, all the wealth of the other 49%, well then guess what? In a true democracy, that's what happens. If 99% of the people vote that they want to eliminate from society, the other 1%, which is what we're up against right now. Well, the 1%, they have all the money. Well, that's right. Yeah, they do. Yeah. And you can be part of the 1% too if you just work hard and do what you need to do. And oh, but I'm not, I wasn't privileged. Well, then get some privilege. Go to the public library. Start studying. Start working hard. Stop burning down buildings and rioting and looting. Just try that for a while. See if that works better for you. There's all kinds of free college programs, all kinds of grants. I don't know. I digress. I'm just getting all, you know. I'm a grumpy old man. That's what I've become. I've become a grumpy old man. So I've longed for this all my life, to become a grumpy old man. And now I've finally arrived. So get off my lawn. And who keeps leaving these lights on? So the January 6th Commission is, now you've got these four officers, as if they're the only officers that were there. Four Capitol Police officers. Strangely enough, all of them. All of them. All four of them. Are obviously anti-Trumpers. How convenient. Now, if you remember, there was an officer who died that they laid in state after the event, after he passed away. They laid him in state in the Capitol Rotunda because he was the victim of Donald Trump and the insurrection, the bloody, deadly insurrection. He was killed by the crowd. And then we find out, no, he was not. This guy was used as a puppet. His corpse, how degrading and how disgusting. They will stop at nothing, folks. I'm telling you, the end justifies the means. They needed to play this in front of the public for the soundbite, to have this guy's body in the rotunda so they could blame it on the people who attacked. Have any of them been charged with murder? Has anybody been charged with murder in the officer's death? Has anybody been charged with murder? Anybody been charged with murder at all that day. Has anyone been charged with insurrection or sedition? There are people right now, in prison, a year later. One of them is about to die because he's not getting the treatment he needs. They are political, they're political captives. They're not allowed to talk to the press. They have not been charged. They have not had a trial at all. Now, I have some theories. Well, of course you do. I have some theories about what might be happening with the whole Joe Biden thing and when and why, how they're going to prop him up throughout this year. I have a feeling that they're trying to play their cards here. Now, Ted Cruz recently came out, I think, in an interview. I didn't get to see the interview, but I saw the headline. There's some talk from the GOP that if the GOP wins the House and the Senate, that they're going to impeach Joe Biden over the border issue, which he should be impeached for that. There's many things Joe should be impeached over. Joe should never have been in office, period. But I'll get back to the whole January 6th thing and my buddy Liz Cheney. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The whole thing with the border and this idea of impeachment. Now, first of all, the old timers,
like Mitch McConnell, I got cotton in my mouth. I can't hardly talk. I'm just going to talk like this. I don't know. I'm going to say I'm getting so old. I don't really care anymore.
Mitch McConnell and some of the others that are, again, Kevin McCarthy, of course. I'm Kevin McCarthy, and I'm going to get tough on these Democrats now that we're out of power. I'm really going to fight hard with no power. I have nothing. I can't do anything. But I'm really going to act like I'm fighting hard because now we're the losers. That's where we like to lead from behind. That's how we like to lead. Yeah. And Kevin McCarthy, he's a chameleon is what he is. And he's a rhino chameleon. If you can imagine a rhino with, you know, like a horn and chameleon things. If you understand what a rhino is, rhinoceros, they got that horn thing going on. And they're really just a rhino is really just a unicorn that's really kind of just let himself go. The thing about the whole impeachment idea, now see, this is where I think that the Democrats are trying to play out their card here. They know they are probably going, now if they don't get this voting rights thing done, they're trying to centralize, the whole voting structure because our democracy is at stake. They're trying to make voter ID the norm. Most countries, voter ID is you have to have voter ID. You have to have ID to vote. That is the norm in most countries. In most democracies. Yeah, that's the way it works. And yet they're acting like that's restricting and it's, we should have unfettered, you know, access to the voting polls. Okay, well, unless you're not vaccinated. Oh, yeah. That's going to come up. You bet that's going to come up. The unvaxxed are going to be unable to vote. You watch. Now, with that, they will be shooting themselves in the foot. Little known fact here. Only about 38 to 40% of the black community is vaxxed. Most of them are avoiding it. They're blaming this all on Trump supporters. Trump supporters are widely the ones who are not voting or not wanting vaccinations, which is not the case. They think that. This is one of those things where they've convinced themselves of this. Donald Trump himself is coming out and pushing people and encouraging people to get vaccinated. Donald Trump is not anti-vax. He's the one who, of course, according to Joe Biden, they didn't even have a vaccine until Joe stepped into office. That he has said that, by the way. That's how ridiculous that guy is. And he turns around and then, and they're now they're Because anything bad that happens, they can always put it back on Trump. That's their narrative. They all pivot on that whole thing, and they can blame Trump for everything. Now, if anything goes wrong with this vaccine, it's going to be Trump's fault. A new variant, by the way, has sprung up in France. But let's talk about something else. We'll get it. There's always that default thing. We'll go back to the. We'll end with COVID, on a high note. So, we have this issue with the January 6th Commission. The things that they're saying now, they were going to put. They requested from the Republican Party, from the GOP. They said, "Let's get. We need two people from your." From the Republicans, because we need to have this bipartisan council. Well, of course, who'd they send? Jim Jordan and who's the Indiana guy? I should know. I'm from Indiana. I can't think of his name. Very staunch conservative. I think he seems to be. It does not very vocal, but he's pretty definitely I would say conservative. And of course, Jim Jordan's just a fighter. I mean, he can shoot like he'll scathe you with his words. I mean, he just comes out with he can skin you alive with the facts. And he came out. Those guys are going to be on the council now. Can you imagine being on that committee? Those guys would have been miserable. First of all. It would have been a very difficult slog. But they rejected those people. Those are the people that the GOP sent to them. And they just decided, no, we don't want those two people. We want these two people. We want Liz Cheney and this other guy. What is his name? I don't even want to mention his name. He's not even worth mentioning. Verla, I don't know what his name is. Both of them, obviously, anti-Trumpers. And this is where it gets just really just stupid. Liz Cheney now got interviewed the other day, I believe, by Bret Baier. And she kept saying, well, we need to focus on getting back the voters that we lost in 2020. That's what we need to do as a Republican Party. We need to decide if we're going to be the party of Trump or if we're going to be the party of principles or whatever she said, something like that. She just sees anybody who's Trump supporter is a cult-like follower of Trump. Are we going to be the party of Trump or are we going to be the party of the Constitution and the rule of law? I shudder for these people sometimes. They're going to stand before God. And this kind of baloney. People can live in a delusion, think that they are the right, and they're living in this some kind of righteousness that they have surrounded themselves with. There's a couple of scriptures that really just kind of shake me to my core. One is where God says to the people, he says, they have worshipped me in the imagination of their hearts. And there's a couple of places where God infers that this idea of they're not really worshiping me. They think they are. But they've created a different God in their own eyes. They've made their own God in their own image. Or they've kind of come up with their own idea of who God is, and they're worshiping that. They don't know the true living God. And this is frightening that people can get to that point. And it's obviously it happened then. It can happen again. People do this. I would have to say I probably have been guilty of that in my life. Coming up with who I think Jesus is and not actually allowing him to actually be who he is. My definition of who he is instead of, yeah, it's just, so it's, That, and that's where these people are. And they're going to stand before God with all their self-righteousness and their self-aggrandizing. And they're going to have the facts laid out before them and realize that they were wrong. And it just, it causes me to quake. I would hate to be in their shoes. But I digress. I'm going to have enough issues on my own, I'm sure. Things that I did wrong, played plenty of stuff, whatever. So these individuals, they ended up switching these people out. And of course, they paraded these officers. Now, I just saw them recently again. They had a studio picture taken of themselves, by the way. And it was real interesting. This, the one guy, I mean, you look at these guys. I wonder if I can find a picture of these guys. It's got to be here somewhere. I can find this. Four Capitol officers. Probably need to spell that right. DuckDuckGo. The four Capitol officers who responded to the Capitol riot have... four officers who responded to the Capitol riot attackers. Testified on January 6th. Here we go. This is interesting. This is probably got their picture here somewhere. Yeah, here they are. These four guys. Okay. One of them... now, I don't know. Most police officers and most police... departments have certain standards of like hair, fitness, other things like that, you know, issues. There's only two guys here that look like they're even fit to be officers. One of them is apparently he's like an undercover Capitol officer, apparently. This guy's, he's all tatted up. He's got a beard and all kinds of, you know, weird stuff going on there. And this is in his cleaned up, you know, setup with his uniform on. Another guy who's there, he's the size of the rest of them all put together. I don't know that he could. I don't know. I'm sure he can't run a 50-yard dash. It'd be more like a 50-yard. I'll get there when I get there. If you got the, can you bring the? Please bring the go kart or the golf cart over here. Get me over there. Harry Dunn, Aquilino, Gunnell of the U.S. Capitol Police, and there's Michael Fanon. I think Michael Fanon is the one. Fanon is the one that's kind of got the weird background, and then Daniel Hodges. He's been the most. Michael is the one that's been the most. Oh my goodness! They're, you know, he's crying. They're making it look like it just happened yesterday. They, you know, it's just. I'll tell you what. These are not a bunch of tough guys. Okay, they're coming across like they are. I don't know how many Capitol Police there are. That would be a good question to ask. DuckDuckGo here. Let's find out how many Capitol Police there are here. We'll just figure this out. Let's figure it out together, shall we? We're gonna type in how many Capitol Police there. How many Capitol Police are there? Looks like 18, 20, 20. There are about 18 bureaus and offices and an inspector general due to the threats of the United States, like USPS, fax, 23. There are more than 2,300 officers and civilian employees. this is the U.S. Capitol Police is comprised of more than 2,300 officers. Has an annual budget of $460 million. And this is this other article says that there's 1,500 actual police officers, which are, these are boot on the ground individuals. The other one was talking about like management personnel and that kind of thing. It's 2,300 people. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. So I now everything else says 2,200 strong. It's in upwards of 2,000 people. Apparently here with the numbers that are there. So there you have it. Out of all of those individuals, we have these four, of course, that they've pulled out from the ranks. Now, keep in mind, this is on the back of a huge revelation of what is going on with the FBI and other deep state individuals that are involved in this stuff. How much of this event, I question, I don't know. Normally I would not, growing up, I would never have questioned any of this. The more I have seen that the FBI is capable of doing and some of these other alphabet soup organizations are capable of doing in terms of false flag type events. And I'm not an Alex Jones guy. Now, some of you like Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones has actually kind of, he's definitely gotten a little bit more, I don't know, I'd say a little bit, he's kind of calmed down a little bit over the last few years, especially since he got wiped off social media. But I think the general thing here is that there is a serious amount of issues here. That the false flag thing happens, definitely happens. And it's, I don't know. The whole thing with Gretchen Whitmer, the kidnapping of the Michigan governor. Now we find out that 12 of the individuals involved in that whole thing were working for the federal government. None of the people who were actually being put in process of any of this stuff, being put on trial, all of them were reluctant to go along with what they wanted to do. They were being led by the individuals that were the informants trying to drag them along into this stuff. They needed this, you know. They needed the dirt. They really screwed it up. But it's, you know, the media will not dive into this. The legacy media will not go anywhere with it. And of course, Fox News is too scared to go into it because they don't look like they're the oddball out with the conspiracy theory stuff. Now Tucker Carlson has gone into it somewhat, and Steven, what's his name? He'll do some stuff occasionally. But there's a lot of just a lot of misinformation. I say misinformation, and again, I want to differentiate between misinformation and disinformation. This is disinformation. This is deliberate stuff that's going on, and it's really it's disheartening, for one thing, that it's happening. That it's become so politicized in terms of political, you know, the FBI basically becoming a party, a part of a political wing. And that's really disheartening. Because it's no longer about the individual rights being protected. It's about, you know, the group mission. This societal engineer goal that they have. So Liz Cheney and this other guy, what's his name? Let's see if I can find out. Liz Cheney. I'll put in Liz Cheney. January 6th Commission. Let's do that. January 6th Commission. Liz Cheney. And let's see who else. Liz Cheney has firsthand testimony that Ivanka Trump asked her dad to tell the man to stop. Yeah, that's what I was referring to earlier. Now, Liz Cheney, she says she has firsthand testimony from someone in the White House that Donald Trump was sitting there watching everything happen on television beside the Oval Office. He didn't go back into the Oval Office and his dereliction of duty. That's what we're going to get him. Dereliction of duty. He had a duty to tell those people to stop. How are you going to stop somebody in the middle of committing a crime from television? That most people committing a crime are not watching television. Oh, hey, Donald Trump just got on the television and said to stop. Oh, okay. Well, we better stop then. Is that how that works? That is so asinine. This is a two-year-old's idea of how this is supposed to work. Can't think of the other guy's name, and it's not coming up here with any of her other stuff. Yeah. Republican fellow Republican lawmakers. Yeah. And so here's the statement that I want to finish with this, with the whole Liz Cheney thing. Here's the statement that she made that is, it just shows you where her head is and her talking points are. We need to move forward. She's basically saying in this interview with Brett Baer, and I've heard her say it on a couple other occasions as well. The gist of what she is saying is we need to move forward with getting back the voters that we lost in 2020. Okay, exactly what voters did we lose in 2020, Liz? You want to get into the numbers game here a little bit? Let's talk about the numbers, Liz. What voters did we lose in 2020? Let's discuss the facts. Donald Trump got more votes than any other GOP candidate for president in the history of this country. So you want to get voters back? What voters did you lose? You gained the percentage. There's a higher percentage of black voters for Trump than any other GOP president ever in the history of this country. Hispanics increased voters in that demographic higher than any other GOP candidate ever in the history of this country. Women. You want to talk about the only demographic that he didn't increase? Or I should say that outperformed him in terms of Joe Biden? White men. That's how ridiculous this is. When you start breaking down the demographics, it does not make sense. The demographic, think about this. The numbers of people who voted for Trump, most votes that any other GOP candidate has ever received ever in the history of this country. And yet, somewhere out of the woodwork comes Joe Biden with 81 million votes. Millions more than Trump got. And you can't question that. You can't say, this doesn't seem right. Maybe we need to look into it. Oh, no, it's over with. It's done and over. It's certified. End of story. Nobody needs to look into it. And yet, just months before the election in 2020, Hillary Clinton was on a council being interviewed and was talking about how you can do everything right and still have an election stolen from you because the Russians involved, she went through the whole thing. Said she basically was saying she won the election, but it was taken from her. It was stolen from her. The election was stolen from her. And everybody clapped. And that's okay. That's not a threat to our democracy. It's not a threat to our voting system. And again, I don't want to jump on double standards because we all know that the double standard does not apply. It does not matter to leftists. So having said all that and said all this and I follow everything else I will say, I still have apple cider in my cup. I'm going to leave it at this. We have this continued hysteria And in my opinion, there's even some hysteria that it spills over into so many areas, including the whole COVID thing. I think that anybody who's unvaccinated or who doesn't want to be vaccinated is kind of lumped into this thing of, well, you're one of those people. I think in general, I think it's kind of seems to be kind of a Trump thing. Well, you're one of those Trump guys. I think for the most part, people who supported Trump were people who support liberty and individual rights and freedoms. That what you're seeing on the left right now is this fascist mentality of you need to be vaccinated because you're threatening society. Just weird stuff. But you're threatening society, so we need to force you to do something. Even though, because this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Even though at this point, obviously, this thing is transmitted ridiculously through vaccinated individuals. I mean, Omicron is sweeping the country. It is all over the place in terms of vaccinated situations, like including the petri dishes that have totally 100% vaccinated individuals. These very rare outbreaks. I just read another article that said something about the rare breakthrough cases that happen among vaccinated individuals. No, Omicron is not a respecter of vaccines or boosters. You may, maybe. They're not even saying that Omicron is really affected in terms of symptoms by much of this whole thing with the... Because... Here's where some of the data just makes their heads pop off. They plug their ears and scream nah 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 all the time when they hear this kind of thing. But this is the real data that's coming out. Looks like this is what it looks like. This isn't peer reviewed. This isn't. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. It looks like the symptoms, whether you're vaccinated or not, or whether you've ever had COVID or not. Omicron, apparently, has about the same symptoms, regardless of whether you've been vaccinated or whether you've had COVID before or not, or whether you've never had COVID. It is a severe, and of course the symptoms are going to vary from person to person, but it is like a severe cold. Now, it's much milder symptoms, but a severe cold, headache, sore throat, aches, achy pains, kind of, I think low-grade fever, what I did hear somebody say, low-grade fever is a possibility. Stuff like that. And yet the country and the world is in a frenzy to shut everything down and lock everybody out. Because Omicron. So that's what's happening, folks. And we're not going to eradicate this thing. I think that this impression of everybody's vaccinated will eradicate it. It will be a non sequitur if everybody gets a vaccination every 4 months, gets a booster every 4 months. The irreparable damage that this is going to cause is yet to be seen. This vaccine has been out for about a year, and we are going to witness, in my opinion, the long term effects. Most studies take 5 years before they can even put a vaccine out. So let's see how this works out in 4 or 5 years. What kind of things are happening to our children? What kind of things are happening to all of us? And I don't mean to be alarmist, but I am. So there you go. And it's been an hour, and I probably should, be done with this show. So stay tuned, folks. Later on today, I am going to try to have a live broadcast. However, realistically, tomorrow is probably going to be the day that the live podcast shows up on Rumble. We'll see how that works. So stay tuned. Again, it's Epic Video About Nothing on Rumble. I might try to start a second channel on there that is actually the news according to me. See how that works out. We'll give it a try. See if that actually happens. But that way everybody knows that they can just tune in there. It makes it a lot easier to find. So we'll see how that goes. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great day, and keep praying for our nation. Pray for each other. We're going to get through this.